What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every week we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and our community. Ooh-wee, it is a treat and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Hey, Hallie.
Gray, what's wrong?
Hallie, I'm devastated.
Oh, no. Gray, why?
Well, as you know, I left last week to be a cast member on God's House, which is a new Christian reality show produced by Hollywood producer Biff Mifflin of Hand of God Productions. And, you know, it's a show where 12 Christian singles are placed on an island, and if they are all engaged and expecting by the end of the last week, you win $1 million.
Did you not find true love, or at least Christian love?
Hallie, I was voted off.
What? I didn't even know you could do that on that show.
I know. I didn't either. It wasn't even a thing. They invented some new rule in week one, and basically everyone just ganged up on me.
Why?
Well, Hallie, I have a theory. One of my theories is that my looks were just a bit too intimidating because most of the guys there were like Indiana Sevens. And then, you know, I also started thinking about it, and I'm pretty sure they're not real Christians, you know.
So,
yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure one of the guys was even a Mormon because one night in the hot tub on the first night, he basically told me, he's like, I'm going to marry three of these ladies and the rest of you are pretty much screwed. So,
wow.
Just so depressing.
Well, if his name was something like Levi or Nehi or Fago or something, you have a red flag right
yeah,
there.
I know,
if
totally.
It sounds OT, but it's a little bit off, you might be Mormon.
That's right. Well, plus he was like ripped and super blonde, and he said that he had never seen a black person in IRL, and so that's a dead giveaway.
Mm, I'm so sorry, Gray. I know you were really looking forward to being on God's House.
Hallie, you know, I realized that I'm actually in God's house every single day when I come here to Twin Hills, so that's an amazing silver lining.
True.
And I'm just so busy right now, and
yep.
I realize, like, I am an authentic, real Christian.
Yep.
I'm an authentic person.
Yep.
And, you know, I already got, like, 10,000 Instagram followers.
Ooh.
And a free trip to Maui, so I guess joke's on them.
Huh. Hey, see, there you go. That's the spirit.
That's right.
You know, those Mormons are tricky because my son, Day, was saying something about Mormons, and I was like, don't even get involved. It's crazy talk. They got their religion has magic underpants, magic spectacles, and seven layers of heaven. And Day goes, well, what about your religion, Mom? You got talking snakes, speaking bushes, and seven-headed dragons. And I said, what do you mean, my religion?
Right.
It's your religion too, buddy boy.
Go to your room, Day.
I know.
Anyway, Hallie, how was your week? I hope it was better than mine.
Oh, well, to be honest with you, Gray, we had a whole hullabaloo over at the Labatt house, again, because of my son, Day. He evidently he was doing stuff online with cryptocurrency.
Oh, cool.
And I didn't even know anything that it was. And apparently he got into some Dogecoin.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knows.
And then
he
traded it or whatever you do. It's like, what are these stickers and playing cards? He traded it, ended up selling it or something, made $100,000.
What?
And donated it all to a women's clinic. And I was
what?
Like, Day, what did you just do? You just blew your whole inheritance,
oh,
buddy
my
boy.
Gosh. I just got so excited and then I got so sick.
I mean, I don't even know what is Dogecoin.
It's like a coin for dogs, I think.
Well, that would make sense that it all goes to a women's clinic.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Well, just like Jesus said, let the little children come to me, our guest today welcomes fully grown children into mentorship. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Matt Cassell.
Oh my God, it's fantastic to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, it is really nice to see you, Matt, and can't wait to see what you're up to. This is really great. You're doing something that is just, I work with youth as well, and so I love that you're working with kids that need help. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure, okay. I'll save the auto autobiographical stuff for at the end, but I'll just tell you about the program first to get started. So it's open to kids of all ages over 18. And what we basically like to do is if these are kids who are at risk or they got something going on with their family, their own kids and anything, and they need guidance, then they come to us and we like to use some of our tools that we've designed for our program to get them back on the right track.
Oh,
okay. I guess I'm a bit confused because when you said you wanted to come on and talk about, you know, forming, molding young lives, and you said, I'm doing this thing called Brother's Keeper, and I said, that's awesome. I didn't really realize, okay, so 18, would you call that a kid, Hallie?
So it's a big brother program for big kids, right?
That's right. That's exactly correct. Yeah, and I would say we've never had anyone as young as 18. So that's the youngest that we're willing to accept, but it's usually more like 25 to around 70 or so, 71.
Okay.
That is charming. And what an important ministry, because you know what? We truly never really do grow up. We're all God's children, isn't that right?
That's exactly correct.
Now, how did you get involved in something like this where you're working with kids who are really adults?
Well, let me tell you, as a child, I was an only child, and I'm recovering, but I got everything a kid could ever want. My parents just said yes to every single whim and fancy that I felt.
Oh, wow.
And for a long time, I thought, you know, I was on top of the world, right? Only to discover I was making a fool of myself, I was making a fool of my parents, because I didn't have anyone there to belittle me or cause me to question myself or what I wanted, like an older sibling might do. And so that's when I realized older people in my lives, what they always would do, the thing that they would ask a question, seem a little incredulous, and like maybe what I was doing was a bad idea. And that's how I stumbled on this thing. I call this radical uncertainty. And so the way that this works is whenever someone is confident about something that's going on, something that they like to do, you just kind of throw in a little, are you so sure? I mean, I don't know about that. And you kind of let it unravel. And I've noticed that it really helps helps people, especially people who think they don't need the help.
Well, sure. Yeah.
I mean, that is really fascinating psychology, Hallie, because, you know, I do this a lot with teens where, you know, I do a similar thing, radical uncertainty. I've not heard it called that. But, you know, I'll say the same thing like, no, don't do that. That's a bad idea. Because really, you can lead a horse to water.
Yeah.
But if you tell them, hey, maybe that's not water, you should reconsider it, they're not going to drink it.
Right.
And I think that is what Matt is doing that is so awesome.
Yeah, because we will not, I will never say no. It's more that I will say I don't know so repeatedly that you start to feel like it could be a no.
Oh.
You know, they say like, I kind of want to ask this girl out. I go, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And then they eventually, it becomes a kind of no.
Okay, so what do you know?
No, exactly. And that's kind of the train of thought that I encourage in everyone is the moment that you think you do know about something, then what if there's a voice, presumably from an older, slightly older person who's slightly, if at all possible, condescending to you, if you have someone in your life you could picture for this, if you just keep saying, I don't know, eventually you realize you don't really know anything. And for me too, I apply this everywhere except to my faith. Because when it comes to my faith, I just believe. Uh-huh. You know, it's as simple as that for me. I just believe. So to me, it kind of defaults. I can get rid of everything else and honestly just focus on the faith there.
That is awesome.
Wow. And what a smart psychology, because you know how it is with kids. I've got kids. I mean, you tell them something's a bad idea and then all of a sudden that's the only thing they want to do. You know, you tell them no and then you've basically given them their marching orders. So
exactly.
You're kind of doing this, not even reverse psychology. It's more just like a looping psychology where then the grown kid doesn't really know what end is up at some point, but now they know you do because you're the mentor. You're the big brother.
Yep.
Wow.
And let me say, I try not to talk about my personal life too much in this kind of sphere, but I also have six kids.
Oh, really?
I have kids, but my with them, I just let them do whatever they want. They call all the shots, and if they say they're going to do something, I let them do it. Because I don't want to, you know, it's different with kids. With kids, they're another species, right? Adults, I kind of understand adults, you know, but kids.
Yeah, I mean, their skulls aren't even completely hardened yet.
Correct.
You know, and how are they going to learn except by trial and error? You know, you can say, don't climb up a tree, you know, too high, but they really just have to fall out of that tree to learn. So that's a cool form of parenting that you're doing, kind of like a hands off.
Yes. Yeah, I just try to stay out of their way, you know, especially lately. I do try not to talk about this very much in this kind of sphere, but they have gotten to a point now where they changed the locks. Well, it doesn't matter. But with adults, the thing that I find is that a lot of the time they already know that they don't want to do something or that they want to do something, but they need someone there to say that they don't know so that they, the adult, can then make that decision and kind of find it on their own.
Right. Yeah. It's actually, as I think about it, Hallie, it's a bit hard to track. I guess I don't really know. Yeah, I guess I don't really know what's going on. But, you know, I've had kind of a tough week anyway, so I don't really know what's going on in my personal life right now.
Well, actually, this could be perfect. Why don't we try a little with you?
Ooh, oh, there you go, Gray.
Okay.
What's going on in your personal life?
Well, you know, I was on, you know, season one of God's House as up until a week ago, and I'm not on it anymore, so.
Did you win?
No, it goes on for 12 weeks.
So, oh, sure. I haven't heard it. I have not heard of this show. I'll admit it to you, but it's a high honor to be on it, I assume.
Yeah.
Well, it was, but, you know, I basically, you know, got voted off, which I didn't even know was part of it. And, you know.
Oh, no. Well, so you're feeling disappointed.
Well, they made, it's crazy, Hallie, because they made up a rule in week one that you could vote people off. That wasn't even part of the show, but the 11 cast members that weren't me got together and kind of did this whole coup thing. And so I'm just feeling, I don't know, like, I don't care. I don't really need it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Are you so sure that they can't call another audible right at the end where they vote you as you won?
Oh, whoa.
We just don't know. We just don't know.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I guess we don't really know anything, right? Except for that Jesus is the Son of God.
Well, sure. Here's a question. I mean, you got cast by major Hollywood producer Biff Mifflin from Burbank, California. My question is he a Christian? Because if he's not a Christian, then we don't know if we can trust him. But if he's a believer, then, you know, it might be good news for you.
Well, I don't know, Hallie, because, you know, come to think of it, Mifflin's kind of a Jewish name. And then a lot of times people are really just trying to capitalize on the brand of Christianity without really being believers themselves. And that's what I'm going to believe.
Oh, there you go. So there you go. Because I wasn't even going to push you in that direction. But I was starting to, as you were saying it, I was starting to think, okay, all right, yeah, that sounds... Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, Matt, I guess what I'm feeling is, okay, that was helpful, I guess. What, you know, what are you doing week in and week out in Brothers Keeper with these adult kids? What do you actually do? You know, are you guys hanging out? Are you going places? Do you take them on activities? Are they kind of meeting with them where they are, which could be, you know, someplace bad or whatever?
All of the above. All of the above. We're hanging out. We're going out. We're making plans. We had a hiking retreat last week.
Oh, awesome.
We did a small part of the Appalachian Trail. We did one full week of that. Very bonding because, and this is where, you know, the radical nature of this really comes into play. I absolutely insisted I carry the map and guide us. And right away, I start doubting this thing and I'm spreading seeds of doubt among everyone. And I'm saying, I don't know if this is right. I'm not sure if we're even in the right place. How can we be sure this is the Appalachian Trail? And pretty soon, everyone started to become so panicked that all they wanted to do was talk about anything other than the Appalachian Trail. And so we all start really bonding, having a great time. Before we know what's what, we're on the 10 freeway, and we get picked up, we get taken to safety, and it turned out to be a really bonding experience.
What awesome. State?
No, it turned out we were in California, so I was right to question it. So
okay, yeah, definitely going to be a bit far from the Appalachian Trail.
Well, first of all, I just was so encouraged by seeing you work your magic on Gray. I was wondering if you could do it to me because I'm a grown up kid who experiences disappointments and stuff. Like, for instance, if you were my big brother mentor and I said to you, I just feel like my husband Lance Labonte likes SportsCenter more than he likes me. What would you say to encourage me?
Well, gosh, well, here's what I would say. Are you even sure he likes SportsCenter?
Well,
hear me out here. What if when he's watching SportsCenter, he's thinking about something totally separate? And so he goes to put the SportsCenter on so that he can zone out a little bit and perhaps think about you. And so part of it is now it's all tied up in that.
Uh-huh.
And so when he wants to focus on you, he turns on the TV so he can zone out a little bit and think about you.
Whoa.
We just can't be sure is what it always, that's what I always come back to.
That's true. And it does seem like he goes someplace else. He's thinking about me and the nice things he could do for me or say to me. That's so awesome.
Yep. He's in a meditative state. I have actually seen that before with SportsCenter and ESPN. It sends certain men into a purely meditative state.
Wow. Wow, that is so cool. I think you're right. I mean, especially about my husband, Lance Labonte, because one time we were in the checkout at Kroger and he picks up the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And I immediately felt so threatened and so betrayed and really hurt and quite frightened. And he's flipping through it. All of these girls, their whole bodies are showing. And I said, Lance, what are you doing? And he goes, well, this girl reminds me of you. And then he opens up the centerfold one with two pages. And he goes, this one really reminds me of you. And then he showed me the cover and he goes, this one reminds me. He goes, everywhere I look, all I see is you. And I just felt so good about that.
Wow. Yeah, no, that's unbelievably romantic. That is truly unbelievably romantic.
Really?
That's awesome. Amazing.
Awesome. Yes.
So that's all. I mean, I would say, you know, it's a helpful way to look at the world is when something is causing you some kind of stress, you just kind of question it into oblivion, right?
Yeah.
It becomes nebulous now. You can bend it, shape it to whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then who's to say that's not the answer?
Yeah, wow.
Well, I mean, you must know, Matt, because with six kids, you know about romance.
Well, yeah,
that's true. That's true. I've had some fun.
What is your better half like?
Well, her name is Liz. She is a very mysterious woman.
Ooh.
I'll tell you that. She kind of lets me do whatever I'm going to do. And she, a long time ago, she said, I don't want to get in the way of whatever this journey is that you're on. And she really committed to the job that she had. She's a police officer. And so she started just really spending a lot of time at the precinct. And so, yeah, she's not around a lot, but sometimes she'll come by the house. I don't want to get into it, but I am staying in a small tent outside of the house right now just until I figure out how to get in. Because one of the doors is no longer, I opened it, I undid the lock, and now there's bricks there. So I'm like, they're doing a whole other thing there now. I don't know what it is, but it seems, you know, good. Ultimately good, like they're having fun, they're being constructive.
Yeah, these kids have ingenuity.
No, exactly.
It's kind of like a Looney Tune or something.
No, that's exactly, because I almost walked into it. And what fun that would have given them.
Oh, good. I'm glad you didn't, because I was wondering, now, is that a collarbone break that you're dealing with there? Because I was going to ask you about
this is purely for comfort, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. I just said, who's to say that my arm is supposed to hang all day like this without any support? And I put this thing on, and I said, maybe it is. Maybe I am hurt.
Okay. Oh, that's a comfort sling. Okay.
Totally,
yeah,
absolutely.
Really looks like an injury, but.
Well, yeah, it's an acquired injury. It's when my doctor's telling me that it actually starts to become hurt. Because of not using it or whatever. I guess we build up certain musculature to keep everything right. But so sometimes the kids will call my wife at the precinct. She'll come down. It's a whole thing. And the cops are trying again. I'm saying there's bricks there and they're not listening to me. But even during those times, my wife will come over to me and she'll say, how are things? Are things good? And she'll check in with me and she'll kind of see I'm still on my journey of kind of questioning everything.
Right.
But she supports me. She supports me, yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's so great. It must be nice, too, when you're lying on the ground of the tent, because that sling, you know, I've always thought, Hallie, wouldn't it be cool if our arms came out of our chests? Because, you know, when you're lying on your side, if you're a side sleeper, which you should be if you want to build muscle mass while you sleep, you know, if you're a side sleeper, just the arms on the side be cool if they kind of come out the front. And that sling really makes it seem you've got like a little chicken wing there coming straight out from your pack or where your pack should be. Yeah.
You develop all sorts of new reflexes.
Ooh.
If I get an itch on my back, I can touch it like you wouldn't believe. There's something about it. The arm is ready to go up and it pinpoints a spot on the back like you would not believe.
Kind of a praying mantis motion, actually.
Yeah,
that
that's cool.
Yep.
And you know what? I wouldn't worry about them changing the locks and bricking in the doorways and all that, because here's the thing. You know, you don't really like or enjoy or relate to kids because it's just not how God made you. You really are more wired to mentor grown-up kids.
That's right.
Well, just think, these are six individuals who, when they're grown, you're really going to be able to kind of introduce yourself and get started.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's that's to me kind of the key of parenting is it's this, I'll see you on the other side of this kind of thing, because everything for these first 18 years...
Yeah.
You know, to each their own, right? And so you'll just see them on the other side and you know, hopefully we can be friends.
That's right. And I want to just throw back in your face something you said in a good way. You know, the radical uncertainty. You don't know why you're in the tent. You don't know why the bricks are there. You don't know what your kids are up to. You don't know even what your wife is up to at the present moment. But the radical uncertainty of that could really mean that you're in an amazing, strong, loving family. And as long as you kind of keep that uncertain, you know, you're doing your really important work that, you know, the only thing that's certain in life is that you've found a calling that really works for you.
Yeah, I'd say another way to say radical uncertainty, is faith. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You said it. You said it.
See,
okay.
You know?
Yeah, because look, here's what I realized. This is just something I know to be true. Every person looks at their childhood and they go, what the hell was going on there? And they look at the whole thing and they can hardly make heads or tails of it. And so who's to say that this upbringing my kids have with the wife's always at the precinct, dad sleeping in the tent outside, we're rebuilding the inside out, all this. Who's to say they're not going to be grownups looking back and going, but our childhood, that was perfect. Dad really did it right.
That is right. Yeah, and now I'm thinking about it. So do you think that building a smaller house inside the house, is that what is going on there?
That's something I've considered. I've thought that's a very, very large possibility. Yeah. A part of me also thinks maybe it's just going straight down.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe they built up some kind of, you know, walls on all sides, and now they're just tunneling down. It's been a long time since I've been inside.
I mean, who's to say? Who's to say?
Now, have you ever had, Matt, a case of somebody in the Brothers Keepers program that you've just not been able to break through to, as somebody who's just kind of thrown it back at you and whose life is just a mess? What do you do then when you really can't be the mentor, you know, the faith guide, if you will, to these big kids or adults, as we say?
Well, first of all, I want you to know that happens all the time, like absolutely all the time. I'm not going to tell you otherwise. I'm not going to say, oh, we got this perfect score, home runs every single time. No, sir. Because a lot of people say, I've had enough of all these questions, or you don't know anything, or this is supposed to help me, and then they'll really get angry. But the key, and I truly do believe this, the key is that when they storm out that door, you got to say to yourself, I helped. You got to just assure yourself, you know what? They're mad now, but I'm pretty sure I got a reaction out of them. So that's probably going to do something good.
I mean, it seems like you would want to build a brick wall by that door that they're storming out of and then keep them in.
That's interesting. So you think that what my kids are doing inside the house is some sort of metaphor, right? That's kind of what you're saying. You're saying that maybe the kids in my house building the bricks is because maybe they want me to stay inside the house. They miss me.
I guess I'm going to just have to say I don't know.
I love that. Now that, because that makes me feel like I'm making a difference. Because now if you had just had an answer, I would have gone, well, I guess he's in charge now. But because we kind of agree, we don't know, I feel content, actually.
Look at that. You were able to, just in the course of one conversation, this shows the real power of mentorship and big brothers and stuff. You were able to take Gray from being a sad person who got rejected from his reality TV show that he went on to just try to introduce people to the profound love of Jesus Christ. And you already just got him from being a sad, disappointed guy to, and I mean, now he's basically, he's like one of you. He could mentor people now.
Well, Hallie, I just want to back up for a second. I don't think I was actually sad and disappointed. Actually, what I was right and mad. And that's a bit different because, you know, I'm just not going to lend my time, energy, and brand to a show that doesn't really, really know what they're talking about when it comes to Christ and Jesus specifically. So I just want to point out, I never really get sad. It's mostly just I'm right and mad. Anyway.
Let me just say, actually, I think what we just discovered right here is something very important, which is that I think what you have discovered, which is that you learned from this short-lived experience on this show. You left. Maybe they wanted you gone. Maybe you wanted to be gone, whatever it was. But you guys left separate. You parted ways. But now, look, you've learned. You're emboldened. You feel tough. You feel strong. I think I'm doing that for the many, 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 many grown-up kids that storm out of my office and don't want my guidance, you know? I think that it's kind of a very similar thing.
Oh, so you do have an office. That's good.
One room at the library. If there's no one there and you set up in there, everyone, it is your office, technically, just because you have so much stuff in there.
That's awesome.
I mean, I'm sure we have space at the church. Have you ever thought about doing it at the church or no?
I don't want to overstep, you know? I know how I look. I know how I come off. I've always got some new affectation I'm working with and all that. And I think that in the event, because I will say people storm out of the office a lot of the time, they do. I wouldn't want them to associate that with the church. Mm. So to me, I go, we'll go to this neutral ground, this place where no one really goes. We'll go to the library. We'll stay here. And then they'll storm out of there. Maybe they'll go to the church.
Oh,
that's a good idea. Yeah, yeah. You definitely would not want to see people storming out of the church because that has never happened. I don't think I've ever met anybody leave a church angry. You know what I mean?
That would be impossible. And I just want to ask you, because you're the expert, Matt, you know, as an adult mentor of adults, you know, would you say in your expert opinion that sad and disappointed is different from mad and right?
Yeah, I would say that mad and right is better because it builds more of a nothing can touch it kind of embryo. Okay. You know, it's mad, right, and it's done. Yeah. It's ready to go, and nothing can penetrate it.
Oh, okay. Good. It's sort of like you're protecting yourself in like a turtle shell of being correct and angry.
Yes, yes, exactly. But it all has to come first from those experiences of rejection and doubt and whatever happened to you on that show. Because I don't know about, I mean, personally, if I got the chance at being on a big reality show, well, I don't know. I don't know. I frankly don't know. But that would just be, to me, I don't know. That could be a hell of a time. I'm sorry that it went so short for you.
Thanks so much. And now that, you know, I'm really working through it, and I think I've got some great perspective now, I just realized, you know, I was cheated, they were wrong, and I probably wasn't voted off as much as it was. You know, it's all just fixed in post, as they say. That's something we say in the industry now that I'm a part of it. And so they probably just changed it in post. So we'll have to see when it comes out.
But, again, I'm saying, maybe by the end it turns out that you won, because the only thing that we know for sure in any given moment is that whatever we're thinking, can't be right. You know, it's got to be, because everyone else is there, so they're all probably thinking all these other things. And so all that comes together, and you're just one set of eyes looking out at it. You're probably wrong. So if you think you got kicked off of there and that you lost, I would say almost certainly you won.
Well, I just think that's such a great idea, and I feel like I've learned so much being exposed to such an expert adult mentor of adults. And because honestly, Matt, every reality show narrows people down and the last one's their win. I mean, if they flipped it where it turns out in the end that the person who left first was the actual winner. I mean, now that's what we call a twist. You know what I mean?
That's right.
But I also just want to circle back to you saying that mad and right is correct. I just feel so comforted by those words as a believer, because if I'm very honest with you, I get so mad and angry all the time about how right I am. I hear what the Democrats say and this new president who's trying to just like open up the borders and let anyone go to a hospital. I get so mad because I know that the gospel's right. So Matt, when you think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that our sins have been, you know, covered by the redemptive nature of his blood on the cross, and that, you know, the God of the universe required a blood sacrifice so that we could be atoned for these horrible sins that we have been, you know, committing these terrible atrocities throughout the decades of our lives. We just keep disappointing a perfect heavenly father. And it just really makes me so mad how right I am that that there could be so many people who think that like Buddhism or Hindu or anything else could be the truth. I mean, when we have the only truth, am I right? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, what do you think about all that?
I don't know.
Matt Cassell was played by the delightful Mike Castle. Follow him at Bike Tassel and watch his hilarious work on Bruise Brothers on Netflix. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.